This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Well, welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM, KKNW, the Saturday, November 8th show. I'm empowering my community, providing you with opportunities and solutions when it comes to anything regarding your money. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, you can call into the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150, or online at themoneyhour.com to discuss anything regarding money with myself or any of the guests that I have in studio today. And in studio right now, Brad Van Vechten with Private Wealth Management Solutions. What does it really take to become financially smart? What should you be doing with your money? And just excited to have you back in studio again, Brad. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And a little bit about Brad. Brad is an independent, fee-only certified financial planner. He's been helping individual families and small business owners identify and achieve their financial goals for over 20 years. He works with you personally to understand your needs, map out cohesive strategies, and provide ongoing guidance to help you succeed as an investor. His professional credentials include certified financial planner, certified investment management analyst, chartered life underwriter, chartered financial consultant. Brad is the founder of Private Wealth Management Solutions, based in Bellevue, Washington, and state registered investor advisor. And today we're going to be talking with Brad about personal financial planning. Brad, thank you again for joining me for studio.
Pleasure to be here.
And do you have a recommendation on how my listeners can find a qualified financial advisor?
So like anything these days, there seem to be more and more websites. You can go on the internet and get qualified advisors. So a couple of websites that come to mind are Paladin Registry, Wiser Advisor. And there's a website actually offered by FINRA, which is the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, called BrokerCheck. And you can go on there and get information about registered investment advisors, whether they have any disciplinary actions or anything like that that are outstanding or been settled in the past, frankly.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. They've got commercials out there that they run on TV of financial advisors and really making sure that they have the qualifications that they need. And doing research and just understanding who you're working with is so important, especially when you're working with someone that's taking care of your money. So, Brad, what should my listeners be looking for when they're searching for their financial advisor?
Well, I would also encourage your listeners that if your friend or neighbor or family member recommends somebody to you, you might go on this broker check at FINRA and just check them out, you know, for your own benefit. This is what I would be looking for if I were looking for a financial advisor, a certified financial planner designation. It's a rather stringent three-year program that advisors go through. It just validates that they understand the big picture. And that second thing you want to look for, by the way, is someone you can communicate with, someone who doesn't use jargon, as an example. And I always encourage my clients, if you go to an attorney or doctor who talks over your head, walk out.
Yep.
Someone who your listeners thinks has their best interests at heart, I think, is very important. And then understanding how that advisor gets paid. You have to ask. Some, like myself, volunteer how they get paid, but sometimes you have to ask, how do you get paid and what types of products do you use, solutions. Financial advice solutions.
Makes total sense. And just having that list of questions to understand who you're working with is so important, regardless of what you know, what industry you're in. So what does a CFP do?
Yes. So CFP is an abbreviation for Certified Financial Planner.
Okay.
So initially, you know, they gather information, identify your financial objectives, and create a roadmap, if you will, that you can follow through life. And you check in every 6 months or so to see if anything's changed in your life. You know, have you had a child? Have you had a divorce? You know, some other catastrophic event that might affect the plan. But it generally provides a roadmap that you can follow. And it's going to include estate planning, long-term care, things like that, not just investments.
Yeah, and I think it's important when any time that you have, and Janice mentioned it when she talked in her segment as well, and any life changes that you have, you really need to check with everybody that's involved in your financial plan.
Absolutely.
Mortgage, CPA, financial planner, your realtor, whether you might be doing something with your real estate property. So what does it take to earn the Certified Financial Planner designation?
I want to say that I'm not here doing a commercial for the CFP designation.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a pretty stringent course that you have to take. So, you know, you have to have a four-year degree, have graduated from a four-year accredited school, and they're very stringent about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunate because, you know, there are people that haven't graduated from four-year universities that are very qualified and very good advisors. They can't earn the CFP designation. I also want to say, just because someone doesn't have the CFP designation doesn't mean they're not a qualified advisor
sure.
with your best interests at heart. Okay. You have to have a minimum of 3 years experience in financial planning, and you have to pass this rigorous exam
mm-hmm.
after studying for 3 years. It's a two-day event, exhausting, and you have to pass this exam that covers not just depth but breadth of knowledge in the financial planning. And then lastly, you have to continue have 30 hours of continuing education every
mm-hmm.
2 years. And disclose anything that might happen during your career, such as a bankruptcy or anything like that. That has to be disclosed.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, Brad, if one of my listeners signed up for a comprehensive financial plan with you, what is the process and how much do you charge for that?
So, initially, there'd be a complimentary initial meeting.
Okay.
And that's about to learn about each other's,
mm-hmm.
you know, determine if I can help them or if they want to be helped. I've had couples in the office who, you know, sit down, and after a half hour, you discover they are worlds apart in terms of what direction they want to head and what their objectives are long term. And so I, you know, kindly say, let's come back once you figure this out for yourselves or go to a counselor. So once we pass that threshold, I charge $200 an hour to put together a financial plan for them. And as I said to you, it's soup to nuts. However, if somebody just wants a limited scope of work, such as retirement planning or college planning or long-term care or something like that, happy to do that as well.
Okay. And what types of investment solutions do you see or do you use?
Do I personally use? So I'll tell you what I don't use is annuities or insurance products, as an example. And, you know, the following may or may not be appropriate for everybody, but this is what I use in general. Individual bonds, not bond funds. Not a fan of those because you're subject to what other investors do in
mm-hmm.
those funds. I use what are called separately managed accounts for stocks, equities, and those are stocks that trade worldwide, so international as well as domestically. A separately managed account, you actually own the stocks yourself. You can see them in your account. When the dividends get distributed, you see those happen, you know, immediately. And the reason I think their benefit is transparency in terms
mm-hmm.
of not just what your holdings are, but costs and, you know, costs associated with trading and everything else.
Sure.
You know exactly what's going on. And then in every portfolio, I use what are called tactical managers. And I always use two because one can be wrong. A tactical manager has the ability to go anywhere. They can be all stocks, all international, all Europe, all Japan. They can be all cash. They can be all bonds and so forth. The advantage to this is in an event like 2008, where, you know, there's just no place to go for a lot of these managers
mm-hmm.
because by mandate they had to be long only stocks. Well, that's a detriment, right? And so these tactical managers can prevent volatility in the portfolio, number one.
Okay.
And then secondly, if they feel the need to get out for a particular reason, out of the stock market entirely,
mm-hmm.
or they see some other place that's advantageous, boom, they can go there. But as they say, I always use two.
Yeah. So there's different asset classes, and being diversified and having investments in all those asset classes, I think is important. What about real estate? How are you advising your clients on real estate and what type of real estate?
So again, this may not be appropriate for everybody, but in
mm-hmm.
general, if cash flow allows, I definitely recommend residential
uh-huh.
real estate
mm-hmm.
As part of everybody's portfolio. And if you're a business owner and you can swing it, your place of business is a great thing to add to your portfolio as well. And if nothing else, it's sort of a built-in retirement plan.
Sure.
In the event you close your business or sell it, you can always rent that out. So, yeah, absolutely. Real estate's definitely something I'd add to a portfolio.
So, Brad, I've got people listening that have mortgages, and I especially after the financial meltdown, I think we look at debt a little bit differently than maybe we did beforehand. And good or bad, I think in some situations you can go overboard, as well as I feel you can be conservative sometimes. What is your thought as far as paying off your mortgage, borrowing against your home if you don't have a mortgage? How do you structure that and advise your clients in that arena?
So there are supposed experts out there writing books and giving speeches, and they sell books because this message resonates with people, paying off your mortgage, particularly, you know, right before retirement, if at all possible. I frankly don't see the logic in this at all. Given how low interest rates are, the fact that you can deduct the mortgage interest expense on your tax return, secondly, and then lastly, the use of leverage is a beautiful thing. So, you know, if your home's going to appreciate 2-2.5% a year, which historically that's exactly what it does, just with the rate of inflation, and you can get 5 or 7, you know, or 9% in a diversified portfolio of equities, why would you do that?
In
other words, I think cash sitting in equity in a home is a poor place to put money to work.
I totally agree with you. Leveraging to build wealth is one of the magical things that we can do. The only thing you have to look at is just to make sure you're doing it financially smart and not doing the things that people did before the crisis, and they're not in a position to be able to make those payments when they're borrowing against their mortgage. So it's just really strategically planning out what's best financially for you. And Brad, what about your forecast for the economy and the stock market, since we all have an opinion? What's your crystal ball say?
My crystal ball says... it's interesting. Yeah, there are many, many opinions out there, and that's honestly what makes the stock market, right?
For everybody
that thinks a stock's going to go down, someone else thinks it's going to go up. That's why we have a market. So I'm generally very sanguine on the economy in general, particularly the U.S. economy. And actually, I just received this information this morning. I wanted to share it with your listeners. So the U.S. Treasury Department said it's borrowing from October through December will be the lowest for the period in 7 years as the economy gains momentum, which boosts tax receipts. So the government's borrowing less money.
Sure.
Okay. Second, U.S. budget deficits have been falling since 2009. It's currently 2.8%, down from 9.8% of GDP. So that's positive. You know, the U.S. economy recovery continues to move solidly forward. You know, the bottom line. So this is an interesting report, too. So U.S. domestic product grew at 3.5% annualized from July to September, the last quarter. That exceeded the 3% that forecasters said was going to happen. So, you know, clearly our economy is gaining traction.
Sure.
And then lastly, jobs, right? So the economy gained 227,000 jobs this year, up from 194,000 for the same period last year. So unemployment is currently at 5.9%. That's a number some people would quibble with, but you know, be that as it may, that's being reported. By the way, it was 7.2% a year earlier. So housing starts up. That bodes well for you.
Yes, it does.
Let's see. Interest rates will ebb and flow, but right now interest rates are very stable. European equities, very cheap, 30% cheaper, so because things are generally sliding over there. There's no U.S. recession in sight, in spite of what others would have you believe. And so, you know, the bottom line is being too conservative is going to result in a guaranteed loss because of inflation.
So, Brad, if any of my listeners want to connect with you, what is the best way to do that and to learn more about your services?
They can call me at 425-896-7617. 7617. They can go to my website, which is pmwsolutions.net. It's an acronym for Private Wealth Management Solutions.net. Or lastly, they're welcome to email me at bradley@pwmsolutions.net.
Perfect. You can always call into the show as well, 1-855-411-50 or online at themoneyhour.com. Brad, thank you so much for coming back in studio and sharing your information with my listeners. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me back.
This is your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, signing off for the day. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thanks for being here, listening to the show. And I will be back same time, same place next Saturday right here at 11:50 a.m. KKNW.